Golden Knights having great success so far this year. Does that put any pressure on you guys to succeed in this
game? Who are the Golden Knights? only pressure is that the sniping of people saying you got to do as good as them.
It's just good. Vegas is treating us well, and I think the record doesn't show how hard that we work, and it's tough in that way, but it's good for us in the inner circle to understand what we have going on in Vegas, and if we just continue to trust and believe in each other, the sky's the limit for this team, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Our expectations maybe at the start of the season were a little unrealistic.
Man, we're not even worried about the playoffs right now. What we do is we take it week by week. We gotta worry about next week. You start looking ahead and you start looking over people, you might not even make it. So
that being said, to me, Urban Meyer is one of the lowest pieces of garbage there is on this earth.
You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network.
That's right, man. Wednesday afternoon, just past 4 p.m. You are tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. We greatly appreciate you tuning in and joining us today. I like the music, bro. Sometimes I just zone out when Quan plays some of the music when I begin the show, man. But I'm excited, man. We got a fun show tonight. We're changing it up today. We're only talking soccer. We are going to mention a little bit of basketball because we got to give some recognition to a big, big victory here last night in Las Vegas. If you're a Running Rebel fan and you were in attendance, then you know what I'm talking about. We'll talk about that here shortly. But, yeah, man, we also got to get into our football picks at the end of the show. My guy Ian, my original co-host of the week every single week, is not here today. Him and his son aren't feeling too well, so they decided to take a backseat tonight, hang out at the crib. So hopefully they feel better soon, and we'll have him back on the show next week. Got my guy Quan 5'9 behind the big board doing what he does for us every single Wednesday here on Gorilla Cross Radio. We are live on GorillaCross.com, the Gorilla Cross app, and on all Gorilla Cross Radio platforms, YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook, wherever it is you like to enjoy it. We greatly appreciate you. Just do me a favor, drop that like, drop that comment, press that share. We'll go from there. Let everyone know what it is that you are tuned into today. And again, man, download that Gorilla Cross Radio app. It's free, free 99. You cannot beat that. Now, I got my guy, Jay Madrazos, to my right tonight. He will be my co-host because tonight's show is a World Cup preview show, right? World Cup is 5 days away. You see, I got the Argentina jersey. I got the Messi jersey. Everyone in the studio tonight will be sporting their country's jersey that they're rooting for. Obviously, we're all kind of rooting for the same in a way because I'm American. I was born here in the U.S. So, of course, I always have a rooting interest for the United States. Never, ever going to root against them. Obviously, half Mexican, half Argentinian. So I got that Argentinian side with me. Obviously, always riding with Messi, riding with Argentina. But even before Messi, before that, when I was a kid growing up, watching all the other greats. But then also having Mexico there, right? And I got to have that tie. So it's going to be tough this year because they're in the same group to start. Normally, they play each other in the second, round. And it's, okay, we got some more momentum going into this. Both teams made it here, but now it's like first round group stage, it's gonna be interesting. But my guy Jay, how you doing, bro? You ready?
I'm doing
tonight?
Good, yes sir. That'll be on, be back on. Let's talk about World Cup. It's here already. We've been waiting for this 4 years. Weird too, because we're having it at a different time of the year, not definitely summer, so it's it threw us off.
Definitely. Now, we do have a guest in the studio tonight. I greatly appreciate you taking the reins tonight and jumping on and getting behind the mic and talking soccer with us. I know you'll be comfortable, bro, because whenever we talk soccer, you're a lot more comfortable than any other sport. And I get that. Not everybody knows everything about every sport. I don't know everything about every sport, and I don't claim to do that. So I'm glad that I have you and the guest that we're about to introduce here in a few moments in the studio with us tonight. But it's a soccer show. The last time we had a huge soccer show, you were actually co-hosting with me as well, and we had this individual in the studio with us at that same time. He is none other than Brian Aleman. He is the president of the American Outlaws Las Vegas chapter, joining us in studio. You guys basically handle all things U.S. men's, women's, and youth soccer, which is pretty cool, bro. Yep. Because you guys bring people together on an everyday basis just to hang out, watch the games, get together. Whether you're a drinker or not, it's just about getting together and supporting the country, right? Can you talk a little bit about what you do and what you guys do with that organization?
Yeah, so the American Outlaw started a while back, but essentially we just get together, watch the World Cup, Gold Cup, Women's World Cup, Confederations Cup when we had it back in the day until they got rid of that. But essentially, we just get together, get kids involved, get the next generation of soccer fans up because the sport is growing. And if there's anything we can do to help grow it in this country, because it's still a little bit behind as far as all the other leagues, but we're just so saturated here with sports, right? So, yeah, so anything we can do to grow the sport here, supporting local teams, supporting other teams, national teams mainly, U.S. Yeah. Men's, women's, and the youth teams, especially right now with the World Cup, and our boys finally made it back after 8 years. So it's been, and then next year we got the Women's World Cup, and then we got Nations League and the Gold Cup. There's a lot of good stuff going on for U.S. soccer right now.
And the one thing that I will say that you kind of talked about is about the U.S. soccer growing, possibly still not all the way there, but it's grown. I don't necessarily just think U.S. national team soccer, but soccer in the U.S. in 100%. General has grown. One of the known coaches in Liga MX, Herrera, I believe it was, he came out and said in an interview that they had with him with a bunch of media people, he said... The MLS is far beyond Liga MX now. They don't even look at us in their rearview mirror.
Yeah.
They're looking to play Spain, Italy, Germany, all these big clubs. They're not even worried about us anymore. He goes, back in the day, they were trying to compete with us. Yeah. Now we're trying to get to their level. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's interesting just because, you know, historically speaking on like all the regional stuff, whether it's like, you know, the CONCACAF Champions League or any friendlies between U.S. and Mexico or even the club teams, it was always, you know, Mexico, 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 Mexico. But now the tide is turning because you got all this talent coming in from Europe. Look at, you know, the LA Galaxy. You got, you know, Puig over there who left the Barcelona Academy. Like, who does that? Leaves Barcelona to come to an MLS team. So
unheard of.
It's a big change for the sport, especially here in the United States. And, you know, I just want to be a part of that.
How excited are you about the U.S. soccer going into this World Cup? I mean, obviously, we're going to talk about the groups here. You know, there's a couple groups. We can't basically analytically break them all down, but we can easily give you our top two on every group. We're going to try to go through that throughout the show tonight. And there's interesting groups here. Some groups people call the group of death, where other people go, no way, it's this one. So
there's no clear group of death.
I love it.
It's tough, and it's, you can't even call it. Like, there's been surprises like Costa Rica in the past.
Oh, yeah. They, and then this year,
they made out of it.
Yeah, and this year is going to be interesting. Well, this World Cup is going to be interesting because I'm looking at the groups right now, and it's really weird just because this is the last time we're going to see groups of four like this. You know, this is the last time we're doing 32 teams, and, you know, in 2026 when it's here, U.S. and here in the U.S. with Mexico and Canada it's going to be 48 teams. So how are those groups going to be broken down and all that good stuff? So this is going to be a really fun World Cup to try to break down, you know, over the next few days and until, you know, Sunday with the first match, and then until December 18th, man, I'm excited. This is my Christmas. Like, I don't really celebrate holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, dude. I don't celebrate holidays. I don't celebrate birthdays or anything like that. This is my Christmas every 4 years. So, and it's even better because the U.S. made it again. So.
No, I got you, bro. It's like with me, I think with all those sports, obviously I love football, so I would say the Super Bowl is probably my top notch. But when it comes to excitement, the way that you get excited for the World Cup, mine would be March Madness. Like, if I'm being honest with you, and I know it only comes down around once a year, so that's better than, you know, every 4 years. But man, that once a year, those first 4 days of the tournament, it's like none other, bro.
Literally,
like,
madness.
I always take off the first 4 days of the tournament if I can. I've pretty much done it probably the last 10 years. And it's amazing, bro. Like, so I understand the feeling that you have with soccer. You know what I mean? Granted, my dad's Argentinian, so my dad's a huge soccer guy. I wanted to have him on the show tonight. He's on the East Coast, though, so he had some things to take care of so he couldn't make it happen. But I remember being able to speak to him from a distance and talking to him, and then also me growing up and watching games, bro. And World Cup soccer has always been the end-all, be-all. Obviously, club soccer has taken over everywhere now, right? Because there's so many different clubs, so many superstars now. It's like NBA, you know, MLB, all that. It's that huge where you see those names, and these guys are coming in, making the money, getting paid. We saw what Gareth Bale just did, which I'm so happy, bro. Like, I've never actually had an MLS team, but if I say who I've worn gear, I have Chivas USA gear, which they're no longer in existence, which is now LAFC. So, and it's funny, right? You saw my jersey. You know the shirt, and I have T-shirts, I have hats. So I was like, you know what? Seeing that and watching what Gareth Bale did, it's huge. Even though he didn't do it all on his own, we get that. But for him to come off the bench, play the way he did,
score the winning goal.
You know what I mean? It's just
the tying goal, rather.
Correct. It shows you that the conversations that we have about, can Messi end up in Miami FC? You know, can Messi end up in the MLS? Would that be a bad move?
Ronaldo.
It shows
too,
you that it necessarily can't be a bad move anymore. The MLS isn't necessarily the David Beckham MLS, if that makes sense. When David Beckham came in, bro, he was at an age where he needed the MLS, I think, more than the MLS needed him. And what I mean by that, you know,
I agree with that.
Yeah. Athletically wise, he wasn't the same player he was anymore when he came to the MLS. Yeah. So it made him look better where he was able to go back to, I think, AC Milan or Real Madrid for a little bit. So it helped them out. You know what I mean? So
elite.
It's just crazy, bro.
Well, that kind of just points back to what you were talking about with Miguel Herrera when he was having that press conference. It's they're not looking at Mexico as competition, as leagues.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot what the stat was, but outside of like the English, German, Italian, French, and I forget the other country, outside of those like big leagues in Europe, MLS produced more World Cup players than any other league.
More than Liga MX.
So
really? Than the players called up to the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you have Gareth Bale, you got cats from all over the place, but. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal, you know, and it's only going to get bigger with this whole new Apple TV deal. And they just announced pricing on that, which I think is ridiculous, but, we won't talk about that. $100 a year for soccer when they're charging the same prices as NBA and MLB, which is nuts to me, but
soccer's getting
anyway,
big, bro.
But it's getting there. We're getting there.
But look, we got to get into the group stages, obviously. And I just want to say a big shout out to you and the American Outlaws for sponsoring tonight's show. You did wanted to jump in with us. And normally when you jump in, you do sponsor that. So we try to push and help you guys as much as we can as possible. We got a couple things we'll give away. Let me know if you guys want some of these little treats. We'll mail them out to you guys. Just DM me on the side and I'll definitely hook you guys up with some stuff here. But once again, Jose V, I got my guy Jay Madrazos, Quan59, and our guy Brian Aleman of the American Outlaws Las Vegas chapter joining us in studio. We're talking some World Cup soccer. Let's start with Group B, not Group A. The only reason I'm going to skip Group A real quick is because you are wearing the USA jersey. So I want to get right into the USA conversation. Obviously, this is one of the tougher groups, in my opinion, because you have three teams, if not four teams, that could come out of this group.
100%.
Iran is not a team to be slept on. They are a team that can come out, play tough, and show people that they're more than just, you know, a country that no one's going to think about when
and
it comes to soccer, right?
They've beaten us before in a World Cup, too.
I forgot about that 1998. Oof, yeah. But then you got England. England, which I think could be a sleeper team. I don't think too many people are giving them credit this year, but we'll see. United States, obviously, which is the team that you have on your sleeve right now. And, of course, Wales. Wales has, obviously, Gareth Bale. Yep. Towards the end of his career, as we see here, just like other guys, as Messi, possibly final World Cup, Ronaldo with Portugal as well. But in this group, if you had to give your top two, obviously, you're probably going to give your bias when it comes to the USA.
100% going to give a bias, but I do believe.
Who do you believe will come out of this group?
I think it's going to be England and U.S.
Okay.
And I think the U.S. comes out as number one and England comes out as number two. And the reason is because I don't see how Wales can really... Wales is a tough team. Iran's a tough team. And England is a tough team. But I've seen the rosters that they've put out. I don't think England's roster is as strong as it could be. They've also had injury issues and things like that. They don't have a Reece James. They don't have a Ben Chilwell, which are Chelsea guys, as you and I both know. But Reece James is a big catalyst. I equate him to be very similar to what a Weston McKennie is for the U.S. on the international stage. And Reece James can grab the ball from the back and literally play by the back from the back by himself, or just facilitate a cross here and there, you know, assist, you know, do some draws here and there. And I just don't see how it happens. I don't know who that is, but I don't think it's a strong line, but they still got Harry Maguire, who's probably going to start, who's garbage. But, you know, for any Man U fans out there, but I do believe it's going to be the U.S. and England 1 and 2.
Now, when it comes to I'm going to get your thoughts too. Now, I'm not going to give my actual picks because I did them earlier on the show on Twitter. It's out there. I'll retweet it if you guys want to hear the audio. I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to go back. I'll give you guys one, you know, dark horse in every group, if that makes sense, that I would think about just to switch it up. So if you guys heard that out there, if not, I'm going to retweet it. I'll put a thing. It'll be out there on all audio platforms that you can find me. So just go ahead and go check that out. I've already given them out. It was on Guru Joe and my guy Philly Bo's World Cup preview show this morning. So go ahead and check that out. But if I had to give you a dark horse in this group, and then we'll talk USA because I got some thoughts on USA, like I was telling you guys earlier before the show. My dark horse, I honestly believe, is Iran. I think Iran can possibly surprise, if anyone, in this group. Who will they surprise and get out? I'm not going to say it's the U.S. I'm not going to say it's England. But I can honestly think if I had to give you a dark horse, Iran can be that dark horse. Now, when it comes to the U.S., I was telling you guys earlier, and you were kind of like shaking your head and saying you kind of disagree. I think you said it outside. When it comes to Christian Pulisic, I need to see more. I feel that he's very overrated, but it's not his fault. Like, I'm not saying he's not talented. Very, very talented kid. Not taking away anything that he did with Chelsea. But the way that they're making it seem, because he won the Champions League or he was a part of winning the Champions League, and they're making it seem now like he's the greatest U.S. soccer player of all time, I don't think he's there just yet. You know what I mean? I don't think he's the one, if we're going to call him that. And I think this World Cup is kind of the end-all, be-all. Obviously, he's still young. He can be in more World Cups. But what I mean by that, you need to prove everyone correct. Everyone that's putting you on that pedestal, and there's naysayers like myself that say, I don't necessarily agree with it. I think you have to come out and show, hey, we can be dominant in this group. Like Brian is saying, we can win this group. We can come out and be the number one team in this group. Not just win it and squeak by and win it by goal differential or because you got one extra point because you had a tie. Win every single one of your games and come out and play dominant, but he has to also show that he can be the dominant leader on the pitch. Granted, maybe not play him the whole game, right? You want to be smart, like you guys were talking about outside. Be smart with the minutes with all your star players. Pulisic is still young, though. I think that this is the one where he needs to come out, and this has to be his showing out party.
Yes and no, like I was saying. I disagree. Just because I don't think he's overrated as far as like how you said, it's not his fault or anything like that. I think there's a lot of different things going on as far as with the English media and how they've basically punished him for any little thing that he does wrong. And even, you know, it's been shown, like when they played against Leeds, or not, was it Leeds? I forget what team they played, but he had two clear chances. One of them, he actually got on goal. One took a deflection and, you know, oh, terrible take and blah, blah, blah. But Mason Mount gets a ball from outside the box and drives it when there's four other options he could have done. And, you know, misses it freaking like he's kicking a free field goal or something like that. And it was like, oh, what a great effort. You know, it's just there's a lot of bias going on over there. Obviously, it's a World Cup year. They're playing on the same team. They're playing against each other in the group. You know, I don't know how much pressure there is actually on Christian, honestly, because I don't think he needs to be that leader. I don't think that's his job. I don't think it's his job to be the leader on the field. Yeah, he'll likely be wearing the captain's armband. But the real leader is Tyler Adams, who plays at Leeds. Tyler Adams and with Brendan Aaronson, I think, are going to put together some crazy stuff as far as the middle goes and pair him up with a Weston McKennie or something like that. I don't think the focus is going to be on Christian Pulisic how it is here in North America, like during a Gold Cup or during a Nations League, because, you know, it's a very physical confederation when you play here. The World Cup is more finesse. There's definitely a lot of physicality going on and pace, but I think his footwork and his skills, and we've seen it against Real Madrid when they did win the Champions League, he'd single-handedly destroy that defense to get that goal, you know? And I don't think it's far from saying that he's not going to be the leader. He may come out and actually flourish as a leader while wearing that armband, but I don't think it's his job to be the leader. I think that completely falls on Tyler Adams.
Okay. Good rebuttal. What do you think about the group, though? What do you think is going to win?
No, I have.
Or if you have to give your top two.
Yeah, yeah, no. In the B group B, I definitely give England 1 and US 2, just because England's been hot, like in the Euros, and they've been competing. You know, they've been competing with like almost at the same level as the top other, like Spain and other nations. But at the same time, they are definitely switching up their squad, many like different lineups that they struggle with that consistency.
Okay.
But I still see them coming in at 1. As I like calling them, Gareth Wells. I think they'll come out at 3, you know, at 3, and then Iran at 4. Because I just, they definitely did a good in their confederation, but just not as strong as Gareth Wells, just because as they played, they're in form and definitely motivated since, well, Wells hasn't qualified in forever for the World Cup.
58 years.
Yeah, something like that. So it's crazy. So that. If England and imagine that World and Cup. That's even a rivalry right there of its own. England and
yeah, they're
and
neighbors. Wales, they're literally right next to each
other. Gonna be a tough game right there itself. Even I won't even be surprised if they draw and then agree with you and then US take 1. So this group is definitely tight. But I have England 1 and US 2.
So both of you got the US and England basically 1-2 there.
I do have something for Iran though.
Okay,
I think Iran can get out. And I don't know who's going to be sacrificed, whether it's the U.S. or England. I don't think Wales gets out, honestly. I think they have the depth. They're going to beat Iran, I think, in the opener. I think that's what's going to happen. But I think after that, when they play the U.S. and when they play England, I don't think it's going to be. I'm sorry. I think they lose to the U.S. and I think they may beat Iran and they may beat England. I just don't think they have the age. They're a little older. They don't have a lot of depth. They do have some great, great players, don't get me wrong, but I just don't see how they stay consistent. They don't have a lot of depth like England does. England has some depth despite me not believing in their roster. But Iran is interesting because, and I don't want to get too deep into that whole of politics and stuff, but all the things that are going on in Iran right now and a lot of the players, you know, protesting either vocally or physically or what have you, there's a lot of stuff going on, and there's a lot of calls from the government and even fans and people in Iran from having Carlos Quiroz, who used to be the coach of Brazil, to pull their best player and not playing him because of what he said. So there's a lot of different things going on. I know Carlos Quiroz said something along the lines of, you know, I'm allowing them to protest whatever they want to protest, which is great and all, but we'll see how it actually goes. There's a lot of strange strings being pulled in the back, and I wouldn't be surprised if Iran completely just drops a goose egg and gets 0 points out of this.
Bro, this whole World Cup is
all... Oh, it's a whole controversy, 100%.
The way it was made, the way these stadiums were built, the way the... Just,
the way it's scheduled.
Again, we're not going to get into... We're not a political show, so I'm not even going to get into that.
Big hole to try to dig into.
It's a mess.
Yeah, it's a mess. So let's try to run through a couple more of these groups.
And let's enjoy it, you know? Yeah. It's here already, four years.
I'm happy, bro. Yeah. I'm happy. I'm not too happy about the time frame of where it's at, like we were talking about outside.
Yeah.
Because you're doing it through the middle of an NFL season, an NBA season, a hockey season,
Champions
holiday
League.
Season. Yeah. I mean, you're doing it through everything. Granted, I get it. You're adding more to everybody's sports plates, but you're not going to gather as many viewers as you would have normally when you were doing it at the normal time
summer.
That you do.
So. Everyone, you know, everyone's on vacation enjoying it, you know?
Yeah, man, but it's hot as heck in Qatar, but... Mm-hmm. Group A, obviously Qatar's in there. I was on a space earlier today and someone threw out a crazy stat. I think in the last, like, I don't know if it was 5 or 6 World Cups that the host team has, like, always made it past the group stage or something like that, except for one, which is like a couple years back.
Yeah. I think this is the first time that they're not going to get out.
So look, the one thing that I was told, and I went back and did some research because I don't follow this team much, was that Ecuador is the third best defensive team in South America. Mm-hmm. So I went back, watched some tape, saw a couple other games, saw how they played Argentina, Brazil, you know, teams of that nature. Correct. I could agree with that statement. You know what I mean? And if there's one thing that I do agree with, especially when it comes to soccer, is defense. Like, if you can score, that's great. But if you can't defend that ball, you're going to give your goalkeeper one of the worst nightmares he can have because he's going to have to deal with everything all night. I remember speaking to Tommy Olsen, about how it would be when sometimes you get frustrated, bro, when your defense is not playing up to par because then you are the defense at the end of the day. So, I don't know. I think Ecuador does have a great defense. I think that they can probably surprise some people. But again, I'm not giving you guys my picks. If I'm giving you a dark horse coming out of this group, I think it is Qatar. I think Qatar can actually go through all because of the conspiracies. Call me a conspiracy theory. Yeah. I think they're going to find a way to get them at least to the next round. And, what do you guys got for this group?
I have Netherlands 1 just because they're hungry. You know, they still have that, you know, that I want to say that mission that they've been, all the finals that they've been going to, they've lost. So I feel like they're on that mission. And 2,
but
I have
the penal, we.
No fue penal. No fue penal, wey. Oh, but yeah, man. And then I have Senegal as 2 because, you know, they're the African champions. You know, they're strong. Yep. I think
people are sleeping on that team just because, you know, it's Senegal. You
but
know
they
what
have
mean?
So
That's
many
fine.
Good stars.
No,
star
no, I agree. I'm not saying that I'm sleeping on them.
The only thing that I'm upset with is just Sadio Mane. I hope he makes it back in time, right? Or at least for the play, for the knockout
round. Yeah, he's supposed to miss, like, the first couple of games or something like that.
I believe
that.
So, yeah. But they're strong. And then 3rd, I have Ecuador. But Ecuador, either I could put them in 3 or 2, just because the Ecuadorian team from 2002 and 2006, they were pretty good. Ecuador was that sleeper. Yeah, they lost
a minute though, bro. We're in 2020. How old were you then? 10 years old? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but that, no, but I'm
just
saying
those
different teams. I'm saying throughout those different teams, you know, like
no, I know.
We have Ecuador qualifying over Colombia, and Colombia stronger than that. That just shows you. That goes back to bringing that you mentioning the defense.
Yeah.
And Qatar, you know, I'm sorry, but we're gonna have another host that doesn't make it through.
What do you think, brother?
I have Netherlands winning that group. Okay. I have, they missed, what was it? Didn't they miss the last World Cup?
They missed the last
World Cup.
After being in the final of the previous one, right?
Right, yeah. Right. I think they're the first team to miss the World Cup after being in the World Cup final. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to look up that stat.
Like that. You're right.
But
that sounds about right.
But I think second place is actually really strange. And I said, I know I'm about to go against what I just said a few seconds ago, a few moments ago. I'm going to say guitar. And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to tell you why, because I actually witnessed them play. I went to four different games during the Gold Cup, and I watched guitar play here.
Oh, that's right. When they were invited to be a part of the Gold Cup.
They're actually really, really good. I do believe that they're a pretty good team. If there is a dark horse for this group, as good as Senegal has been, I like what you were saying about how the goalkeeper and the defense. I think Senegal gets out if Mendy stays healthy. He's one of the reasons why they won the African Cup of Nations. But I think it's going to be Netherlands 1 and Qatar 2. If Edouard Mendy stays healthy, again, Chelsea goalkeeper, I think Senegal gets out. But as good defensive team Ecuador is, I don't think they have the pace up front to keep up for a whole 90 minutes on either of those teams, specifically Netherlands.
Again, I'm not giving my picks of these groups. Again, I said I did it on Twitter earlier today. The audio is out there if you guys want to hear it. I'm just giving you guys my dark horse of who I think might come out. That's probably not being talked about too much. Obviously, not a big name. Group C, we're going to go right into it, which is one of the most interesting groups. Not going to say the group of death, as some people started to call it, because we don't really know what we're going to see from Poland and Lewandowski, right? That's, I think, one of the biggest question marks. We know that they have more than just Lewin, but what are we really going to see from Poland overall? Obviously, we have Argentina, Messi's final World Cup, which I'll give my thoughts on him now that we're in this group real quick. Obviously, you guys know half Argentina, and I love Messi. Been rooting for him for years. I had Cristiano Ronaldo above him for a while. I told you that until Messi won the Gold Cup. I mean the Copa America, and then they won this previous cup against Italy, whatever the heck they called that.
La Finalissima.
Which to me really didn't matter. It's just a consolation prize.
It's like the UEFA Super Cup.
Not making an effort to bring the confederations again.
Oh my God. Here's
the thing, though. When it comes to Messi, I think that his legacy is already cemented no matter what, right? The only thing he can do now is add to it. If you want to be the all-time great, and I'm not going to say all-time great in soccer, because I believe that argument can go either way. My dad doesn't even believe that Pelé or Maradona are the all-time great. He has another guy that he believes is an all-time great.
Gerd Müller all day.
Different eras, different times, right, when it comes to the world of football. So obviously it's a lot different. In my time, in my era, I would say it's probably between Cristiano Ronaldo, Batistuta, and Messi from what I've seen, you know, that I like, if you want to call it that. But obviously, with Messi, if you want to be the all-time great Argentinian when it comes to soccer, right, and you want to pass Maradona, and you want people to build murals and treat you and respect you the way that they respect Maradona. Because let's be real, Messi has respect, but he does not have the Maradona respect when it comes to the legendary respect that he had as not only a football player, but people even loved him away from football outside of that, right? So I don't think he's garnered that respect just yet. I think him coming out, whether he's the star or not, which I believe him taking a little bit of a backseat, I told you guys, necessarily isn't a bad thing, because I think Di Maria handling the ball, doing a lot more for that team and letting everyone else play together and not necessarily everyone trying to be the star, right? I think it's going to be okay and good for Messi. But what I mean is that if he can find a way to rally this team, get them together and somehow win it. They're one of the top five teams favored to win this World Cup this year. So it's not just me blowing smoke and trying to be favoritism because I have the jersey on. They're one of the top five. If they can find a way to get to this final and win it, Messi can literally go out on top at that point. If he wants to leave PSG and say, I'm done, I'm done. If he doesn't want to go to the MLS and end all those rumors, I'm out. If he finally wants to say, this is my final game with Argentina, he can walk off on the podium as the champ. At that point, you're going to garner that Maradona respect. So I think that this is the end all be all for Messi. He has to win this World Cup. If he doesn't, again, his legacy is still cemented, but he will not pass Maradona without him winning this cup.
Agreed. Yeah, they're a plus 400 on a couple of books, just behind Brazil at plus 350. So the second favorite. The only thing I would disagree with is like what we were talking about earlier about the pressure of Messi. Before, it used to be where he had to be everything from the beginning to end. He would handle the ball. He would have to play defense sometimes in the midfield. I think with this roster that they have, I think this is probably one of the best rosters they've ever put out. And I think that's only going to benefit Messi in the sense of he doesn't have to do all those things. Like you were mentioning earlier, Angel Di Maria is playing at an incredible level right now. And I think that that's going to benefit Messi a lot because he doesn't have to create. He can just kind of float around in the same way he was doing for PSG and towards the end of his time in Barcelona before all that other stuff happened over there. But yeah, and to give you my two out of that group, and I'm sorry. I think it's going to be Argentina and Poland.
Okay.
I think Mexico's squad is very weak. They have no youth on there. I think the youngest player is 27.
Yeah, they're 28. Their average age is 28.
Yeah. Yeah. You got, yeah. And you know, it just doesn't bode well for them either. I mean, and I know we're talking about 2022, but in 4 years from now, who's going to be their goalkeeper?
So let me ask you this. You know? You brought up the, I'm glad you brought up the goalkeeper. Is Ochoa over his head?
Because I don't think he's over his head.
How much does he really have left? I'm not saying he is. I'm asking. Like, how do you feel about that? Like,
I don't think he's over his head. I do believe that they should have brought somebody else. Because what if he gets hurt?
Don't they have three goalkeepers total they're bringing to the cup?
The youngest one is 35. Yeah.
Oh.
There's like no there. Even if they brought in the youngest the goalkeeper, pretty much Osvaldo Sanchez, Jorge Campos.
Yeah.
No, I mean, not to go back to Group B, but like even the U.S. right, like they have like five guys that are probably not going to see the pitch.
Yeah.
But it's about getting that experience for that next one when they do get on the pitch, right? Yeah. Mexico is not doing that. Tata Martinez has done nothing good for Mexico, I think, as far as their roster build out. They didn't bring arguably their hottest striker. You can even say the same thing for the U.S., but Mexico not having Santi Jimenez. I mean, a lot of people are tripping out about Diego Lainez, even though he's not really done a lot of anything. But when he puts on that jersey, he's not done at his club, a lot of stuff at his club, right? But Diego Lainez, when he puts that jersey on, he can cause trouble all the time. But I do believe it's going to be Argentina and Poland. I know everybody has a lot of questions about Lewandowski and who's going to support him, but that midfield's pretty good. The defense is pretty solid. And the dark horse out of that group is not even Mexico. It's Saudi Arabia.
Ouch. What you got, Jay?
I do. How are you going to live up to that? I'm not trying to crush all my Mexico fans' dreams or anything. It's just, this is not it.
I got you.
And it's disappointing because, you know, even as a U.S. fan, I'm also a fan of our region.
Of course, the better we do
in the World Cup and on the world stage, the better for us as far as competition-wise. And Tata Martinez, and this is not the player's fault at all. And like you were talking about earlier, no Carlos Vela, who obviously said he was never going to play for them again. He was done with the national team, which is fine. But not bringing in a Chicharito, who arguably out of all of the available, not including Carlos Vela, and you don't bring a Chicharito when he's been hot all year with the Galaxy, even if it's an MLS. But we were talking about how MLS is producing World Cup caliber players. It's just a shame that Mexico is probably going to come out in last place.
And even if you don't want to play him, bring him and keep him on the bench.
Yeah.
That's the type of player that you want to have on there.
It's a
that
locker room
he's
guy.
Gonna 100%.
You gotta have those guys too.
Exactly. Yeah. You gotta have that experience there no matter what, 100%. The guy's got club experience, he's got selection experience, he has World Cup experience,
so he's like, scored goals in the World Cup.
Bro, it's insane why that you would not bring him. Well, who do you have? We got five more groups to move on through, so we gotta run. But who do you have in this
group? I definitely have Mexico as number one. I'm being biased, right? We beat Germany and we definitely show up in the World Cup when it comes to like bigger games. So for Mexico, I don't doubt them. I feel like this, they're going to turn it up just like they always do. And like the last World Cup, we beat the reigning champions, right? Nobody believed in them. And then, I have Argentina as number two. But then again, I have them also as maybe taking the whole thing with along with Brazil and France, right?
Okay.
Poland three, just because they haven't been really consistent and they in international compared to all the bigger names. And then Saudi Arabia, I don't really see them really doing that much of a damage. And yeah, with Mexico, we definitely are transitioning to different goalkeepers, right? There's like Acevedo and other ones that are that are in the process, right? But right now, everybody that they were like Talavera and Cota, they came from being champions, came from having great tournaments. So definitely experience in that side. Like Santi, yeah, he's scoring. Unfortunately, they're just like politics, like always Mexico and we're definitely have history and they always bring the preferable players. They brought Rogelio Funes Mori, which didn't even play, had a good tournament for Monterrey. So that's the thing but Argentinians, the coach is Argentinian, he's Argentinian. You know, you bring just like politics, right? So I don't agree with that. Lainez, yeah, he really wasn't doing nothing for his club as well. But we'll see. I'm definitely excited. But realistically, it might be Argentina 1 and Mexico 2.
So we move on to Group D and E real quick. France, Australia, Denmark, Tunisia in Group D. Group E, we got Spain, Costa Rica, Germany, and Japan. Group D, I think my dark horse, my sleeper, is going to be Tunisia coming out of this group. I think that they can possibly be the team to surprise people. In Group E, I'm going to say Japan. I think Japan can come out and just run on that field and surprise the crap out of some people, bro. Because when they play and they actually get on it, if they score first on you, they don't look back. Like, they'll find a way to win these games. So I don't know. Call me crazy. I think Japan and Tunisia can surprise in Group D for Tunisia and Group E for Japan. What do you guys got in those two groups?
For Group D, I have Denmark and France. I think France is by far the best team on that in that group. Denmark is not far behind. I'd like to see the bounce back of Eriksen after that, you know, scary incident a couple years ago when he had that heart issue on the field. My dark horse would actually be Australia. I think there's just something about that team. Every single time the Socceroos get on the field, man, they just do some crazy stuff. every time they just do, it's just they find ways to score goals. It'll be interesting. I don't think Australia beats France, but they have a really good chance of beating the other two. So they might come out as number two. But Denmark is just, I think, just too powerful. And out of Group E, along with Group H, I think those are like my one and two for the group of death, I think. I think it's Spain and Germany, either one and two. But I don't be surprised by Costa Rica. Costa Rica has, I don't know what it is about Costa Rica. It's because nobody gives them any attention or nobody considers them a threat. But they're always good. You know, this, like, you know, going back to multiple World Cups and stuff like that, you got, gosh, why am I? Keylor Navas. You got, dude, I'm drawing blanks. I'm looking at all these different teams.
You got the
teams.
Legend of Navas.
Yeah. He's
Brian Reese's last.
Yeah, Brian Ruiz. You got there's a lot of stuff going on with Group E where I think Costa Rica can make it out, but I think anybody can get out of this group. It's just, this is going to be just cannibalization. They're going to eat each other alive, and then whoever plays them in the round of 16, I think it's not going to be. I think Group E is going to have a hard time of getting out past that.
A lot of great teams in both of them. France, which to me is probably one of the clear-cut favorites to win the whole thing as well, with a couple of teams up there. But who do you have, Jay and Dini?
Yeah, no, indeed, definitely. I think France is the most informed European team. I think that's the most, to me, if it's not one of those South American teams, definitely France, and be back-to-back champs. For number two, I have Denmark, just because they definitely have top-flight players, right? And then three with the Socceroos, Australia. I agree with them in Tunisia. Yeah, it looks very hard for them. For Group E, Spain 1 and Germany 1 and Spain 2, or Costa Rica 2, just because they're consistency and they're always surprising you, just like how they did in 2014. They're definitely a great team out of nowhere, and having the couple players playing in Europe like Keylor, like, they have that experience. They could bring that and motivate these, especially this transition that Costa Rica is doing. So I'm excited to see them. And Japan, good team, but it's going to be very hard competing against those three.
So Group F, man, Belgium, year in and year out, ranked number one in the year and in the nation. You know what I mean? In the whole world, they went to the World Cup, ranked to favorite to win it all. They've had a stacked squad. They have guys. Not only do they have guys, they have named guys that are superstars with their clubs where they're playing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have a coach that's supposed to be able to put this team together and finally get this World Cup. Like, does Belgium finally come out and say, okay, we're going to put the pedal to the metal and we're actually going to be that team that everyone keeps saying that we're going to be? The sports books keep putting us up there as a favorite. Are we finally going to come through for the betters, right? That's the biggest thing as well. If you're gambling on the World Cup and you got money on this, which way are you going to go with some of these favorites, which is obviously tough? But in this group, again, I'm not giving you guys my picks of who the groups are because I already said that earlier, but I think the one team that can possibly squeak out, because I'm pretty sure majority of people are going to say Belgium, Croatia, or Belgium, Morocco more than anything coming out of this group. I think Canada. I think Canada can find a way to squeak in there as number two and can possibly come out in this group as well. But what do you guys think about Group F?
I don't really favor Canada as much as a lot of people do. I think they won. They came out on top during World Cup qualification for CONCACAF and things like that. But they've taken some knocks. They have a couple injuries. Alphonso Davies got hurt not too long ago. I don't know how well he's going to be doing after the fact. Having Alphonso Davies on the field is going to be critical for them to win, and then him connecting with Jonathan David up front. Both of them haven't been playing that well recently, so it'll be interesting to see how that comes out. I think it's going to be Belgium's last chance. This is the last chance of the golden generation. They've been calling it the golden generation since 2014, after the World Cup, when you know you had your Hazards, you had your Lukaku's, and all these other cats coming up. Fellaini, who remember, he was the end/beginning of the last generation to this new one. So I think it's Belgium and Croatia. Croatia is just really good. Morocco is good. I just don't think they have that pace. These European teams, they have this advantage of the speed because of the leagues that they play in. And
how old is Luka? 36?
Lukaku? 30.
No, Modric for Croatia.
Yeah, 36.
Right? Yeah. This is it. This is the last World Cup.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff going on for both the Belgians and the Croatians. And if there is a dark horse for me in Group F, it's going to be Canada, but I just don't see it happening. I think it's Belgium and Croatia, 1 and 2.
But you agree with my dark horse, possible?
Cool. Yeah, yeah, no, okay. Possible. Yeah, yeah.
What you think, my guy?
I definitely have Belgium number one and Croatia number two.
Okay.
This is it. I agree. And in the youth system, I mean, you have Thorgan Hazard coming up and all these other players, but then again, they're not really that much of a youthful team. So we don't see that same transition that we were seeing in 2014 or even in 2018, right? Like we didn't have, you saw the, okay, Lukaku wasn't in his prime, but he was already there, right? But I don't see the same transition right now with this Belgian team. So this is it.
Yeah.
And same thing with Croatia, unfortunately, like all their, you have Kovacic coming up, but it's like, are you really going to replace Rakitic and Modric? You know, like you have those top players that, even Perisic and their top strikers, like this is it for them. Like they're already in their last of their career. So I think this is it for Croatia. They did go to the World Cup final, so I definitely hold them up high. And their players play, you know, in top clubs. Third, I have Canada, just a little bit better than Morocco, but they won't have enough guys to last them the tank. So
Group G, we got Brazil, Serbia, Switzerland, Cameroon. Obviously, clear-cut favorite has to be Brazil in this group. I mean, if you're not looking at that, then I'm not sure what you're looking at. Let's see. Dark horse, Serbia, Switzerland, Cameroon. I'd probably say Cameroon. I think Cameroon's a great team no matter what. Obviously, one of the great African teams that they have out there. But I think Cameroon will probably be one of the dark horses that will come out of this group. Again, not giving me my picks, but what do you guys think?
Go for it.
All right, I have Brazil, obviously, number one, and Cameroon, number two, just because, okay. They're always, the African teams always surprise us, and Cameroon's the same way, finally glad to see him back in the World Cup. Switzerland, three, and Serbia, four.
My man, yeah. What you got?
I actually have Brazil, one, Switzerland, two.
Okay.
Switzerland has always been in the mix. People always forget about the old chocolate makers, but...
chocolate makers?
Yeah, well, that's what I call them because it's Swiss chocolate. Delicious. But, you know, Switzerland's Swiss always Army consistent. Knives. Yeah, they're always Swiss consistent. Cheese. You got Shaqiri there. You know, you got Ricardo Rodriguez, who people forget about. This kid's good, man. He's playing for Torino right now. He's having a great year as a defensive. He kind of plays a defensive midfielder, but plays a lot of defense. Zacharias playing really great. He just transferred over to Chelsea. But there's a lot of good talent. You got Chaka over there too, playing over at Arsenal. There's some talent there that people just don't really, what's the word? They don't think will actually mix really well. I think this is probably one of the better teams actually in all of the tournament. For me, my dark horse for the whole tournament is actually Switzerland. But I got Brazil and Switzerland, 1 and 2. My dark horse is actually going to be Serbia. I don't think Cameroon gets out of that group.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. Group H, final group here. We got about 15 minutes left on the show. I still got to get my final picks of the week, which we're going to get into here towards the end of the show. And then I got a quick little video that we want to do for some basketball that we were at last night. But we're going to talk about that here towards the end of the show. But Group H, fellas, Portugal. Is this Cristiano's last chance? What's going to happen here with this team? We have Ghana, Uruguay, and of course, South Korea. My dark horse, I think South Korea can surprise some of these guys find a way to squeak out the second spot. Because I think first spot, we're probably looking at Portugal or Uruguay to fight through that. But also, don't sleep on the, how do you say it?
Ghanaians.
Ghanaians. I don't want to say it incorrectly. But I think South Korea is my dark horse. Go ahead, Joel. What you got?
I got number one, Portugal. This is it for Cristiano to prove to the world, you know, to lift up the trophy for them, you know, finally bringing it home. Just because they have a good transition with young players and experienced players. A lot of players playing in top teams. And Los Uruguayos, I got Uruguay. Just because they have some great, they're just like Argentina, you know, that South American football. So definitely them. And
you can never count them out.
Never. Third place in 2010, I think. Great tournament. So I got them number two, South Korea number three, and then Ghana number four.
Okay. So you're close, kind of close with me with South Korea. You got them right there towards the end. What you got, my guy, Brian?
Ah, dude, you know, like I was saying earlier, I have Group H and Group E as like my groups of death. I think anybody can get out of this group just because, you know, again, not getting into the weeds of things, but all that crap from Ronaldo's conversation with Piers Morgan a couple of days ago and all that weird stuff. How does that affect the locker room? How does that affect, you know, teammates in this team, like a Bruno Fernandes? They both play at Manchester United together. How is that going to affect things on the field? And are they going to be professional and get past it? You know, we're all humans, right? And there are humans on the field too. So how does he get past that? I think if I had to pick, I would have Uruguay one and South Korea two, just because I think the South Koreans, man, like they're good.
Yeah.
Just like the Japanese, like there's something going on in the AFC, the Asian Federation of Soccer right now. Asian Football Confederation, rather. They're doing some crazy work at all the different levels. You got the Philippines are actually doing pretty well.
Interesting.
You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the Asian sector of the world where these teams aren't walkovers anymore like they used to be. And the beginning of that was in 2002 when they played in Korea and Japan. You know, they've been consistent ever since. So, and as far as a dark horse, I think anybody can get out of this group. I think it's not going to be clear cut like how I think Group C is. Or like even a group or a group F, but I think group H, anybody, but like I said, I got Uruguay, South Korea, and Portugal third, Ghana fourth.
There we go, man. We got through all the groups. We still got about 10 minutes to go, which is perfect timing. But last thing, 30 seconds from both of you, and then I'll give mine. Who do you have winning it all and why? 30 seconds.
I have Argentina, just because it's, you know, it's either now or never for Messi. Brazil, I'll give them as my second favorite just because I have a great team overall and from goalkeepers to strikers. And third is France just because they're the defending champs and Benzema's on point right now.
There we go. I didn't ask for top three, but I love it. Top three. No, that's perfect. Top three.
That's
what
I was going to do. I got Brazil, Argentina, France, and specifically that order, which is actually the betting order too right now as far as favorites. I just don't see a lot of people getting past them. And obviously I'm biased. But expect a surprise from the U.S. I really do believe that they're going to make a big splash this year.
So obviously I have Argentina, I have Spain, and I have France. Those are my top three. I think the Spaniards aren't getting as much respect as they should. I think they're going to come out and surprise people. I think with France, you can't fall asleep on them. Defending champs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We know what they bring to the table, the pedigree, the experience, the flash, the pizzazz. I mean, when you watch them play, you're just waiting for, it's not if they're going to score, it's when they're going to score. You know what I mean? It's that type of atmosphere when you watch this team play. But again, going with Argentina, call me biased, call me crazy. I think this is the first time that Messi finally has a coach that has understood how to coach the team, not coach Messi's team, but coach the team that he has around him. I honestly, truly, finally believe that. I think that Messi mentally knows where he's at in his career and what he needs to do and not do and what he has to become in this World Cup. You know what I mean? Because he definitely needs to come out of his shell and be a little bit different of what he has been in previous World Cups. Call me crazy. I think Argentina does it. I think they find a way to make it happen. And I think Messi rides out on top, bro. And I think that's how it's going to end this time around. I appreciate both of you guys being in the studio today talking soccer. But real quick, Quan, if you could put up the graphic for the American Outlaws for the World Cup this year coming up. And Brian, if you could just give a quick replay of what you guys are going to be doing during the World Cup and where they can find you guys on all things social media.
Yeah, so we're going to be hosting watch parties at Tennessee's Tavern downtown Las Vegas. All the matches are at 11 a.m. for the group stages, which is going to be really awesome for us. Our first match is on Monday against Wales, Black Friday against England, and then the following Tuesday is going to be against Iran. Hopefully we'll be cruising by that point, so we don't have to really worry about it. But please come out. We're on all social media. We're on Facebook. Look up American Outlaws Las Vegas. On Instagram, we are Vegas_Outlaw. And on Twitter, Vegas_Outlaws. And on Twitter, we're at AO_Las Vegas. Give us a follow. Keep up with us. And, you know, we got the World Cup right now, but we also got some friendlies in January in L.A. We got the Nations League. We're playing against Grenada and El Salvador. And then we got the Gold Cup. And then right after that, the Women's World Cup. So it's going to be a pretty busy next year for the Outlaws out here.
And not only that, all of this stuff that you guys do is free. Obviously, you got to pay for your food and drinks when you go to these taverns.
Yeah.
But
there's hanging out
is free. They don't charge
there's
you.
Yeah, there's no ticket admission. The only thing we do is, you know, we sell some scarves here and there and, you know, to kind of keep the chapter afloat. And that's about it.
That's it, man. I greatly appreciate you jumping in tonight and talking some World Cup soccer and soccer in general with us and sponsoring the show and being a part of it as you have in the past, man. We greatly appreciate you. But in these next couple minutes, I'm going to give you some time behind the mic on your own on the computer. We always ask our guests to give us an NFL pick of the week. So you're a guest. You have to give us one. So go ahead and put up the NFL games for this week. I'll give you some moments here. You do the same, Joel, okay? I'm going to go ahead and talk about what we have going on and what has been going on here. So I'm on a little bit of a hot streak. I'm gonna talk about myself. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be cocky about it. Now, last week, before I had some guests in the studio, right? Not in the studio, on the show. We had our guy, the guru, Joe, and we had our guy, Lo. Our guy, Lo, hit his pick. He had the Titans -2. Our guy, guru, Joe, had the Cowboys -5. He went with the homer pick. We saw what happened there. The Green Bay Packers came through and win that. And by the way, I hit a 3-team parlay. All three underdogs won in the afternoon window, by the way. All three of the games, all dogs won on the money line. I took a shot. Packers were one of them. Great hit there. Now, with our picks of the week between me and Ian, Ian is currently sitting now at 3-7. His picks of the week last week were the Saints at -1.5 over the Steelers. We saw what happened there. The Steelers won the game outright, which that line actually flipped before game time. The Steelers ended up being a -2.5 favorite, but it doesn't matter. They ended up covering that spread as well, so Ian wouldn't have won. So Ian's now at 3-7. For those of you that saw the show last year, during last season, you saw that he came in, he was hot. I think it was like 7-0 to start the year, and he wouldn't stop yapping. I told him, I'm going to get you this year. I started off a bit slow, but look, I got hot. I had some info. The info wasn't the greatest last week. It did end up happening. But if you saw the game, Josh Allen was not healthy. Josh Allen was not comfortable. And Josh Allen is not an elite quarterback. We saw it again. The guy can't even handle a snap underneath center. That's why he's always in the shotgun. Think about that, people. If you like participation trophies, then hey, Josh Allen is your guy. Just like I told everyone in baseball, Buck Showalter is not that guy. Look what he did with the Mets. They got hot, disintegrated in the second half of the season. Hey, manager of the year, enjoy your participation trophies. They mean nothing. That used to be Dusty Baker. The guy finally got past that because he won his World Series. But last week, I was told take the Vikings. The Vikings are going to come through. No matter what the line is, they will win. I took the Vikings at +3.5. Also took them on the money line in game during the game when they were down by 4. Took them at +285, which ended up coming through, which was good. Great game. Insane ending to that game if you saw what happened there. So that puts me at 6-4 on the season. Not only that, if you saw last week's tape, I also said Justin Jefferson would go over 1,000 yards, and I said he would go over 140 yards receiving in the game, and you can book that. He had 193 yards receiving. The kid went off. I kind of agree with what my co-host said the other day, Ian, in our conversation. The kid might be the best wide receiver in the league right now, this season, today. Because what he is doing with that Minnesota Vikings team, he is finally making Kirk Cousins look like the guy that he's supposed to be when they paid him. Now, we got 5 minutes left on the show, guys. What are your picks of the week? I'm gonna give out Ian's first, okay? So Ian did text me. I want to make sure I can confirm here because I don't want him to get upset. So see, Ian wants... Now he's going to go against the Buffalo Bills this week, and he is going to take the Cleveland Browns on the road +7 in the blizzard because it's supposed to be snowing, and I'm talking about bad wind and all, bad weather. So that's who he's taking. Ian at 3-7 on the season, taking the Cleveland Browns at 7.5 on the road against the Buffalo Bills. I'll let you go. What you got?
All right, I was looking through it, and still I've...
See, I'll put him on the spot, bro. I gotta put him on the spot.
My Raiders.
What? Let's see. So the Raiders are on the road in Denver. They're getting 2.5 points. Man, I gotta shake your hand because I was a ballsy move there. You got to be right with the home team sometimes. So he's taking the Raiders +2.5 on the road against the Denver Broncos. My guy Brian, guest pick. What do you have this week?
Definitely not picking the Raiders because all they've done is disappoint me. Give me the Jets +3.5 at New England.
The Jets. Hey, I think I knew why I like this guy. Okay, I know you're not a Jets fan. I am, but that's a good pick.
I like them against the Pats.
You know what? The last time they played the Pats a couple weeks ago, it was the biggest game that they've had in a long time. This ends up being, again, one of the biggest games that they've had in a long time, especially because first place is on the line. They win this, and even if Buffalo and Miami wins, the Jets end up being tied for first, but would be in first because they've already beat the Dolphins and the Bills. Yep. So this game has everything riding on it. It's not my pick of the week. I'm staying away from my team this week. I'm not even going
to
bet it.
And Jets lost 13 in a row to New England, by the way.
I know that. Thanks for reminding me, Quan. Hey, but the number 13, number 13, right, is, you know, it's one of those numbers. So hopefully the streaks are made to be broken. Hopefully they can break that. But my pick of the week this week, I'm going to go with the other New York team. I'm going to take the New York Giants at home -3 against the Detroit Lions. I think we're seeing a team with Coach Daboll, I believe his last name is, that he's proven that he can coach. You know what I mean? And that maybe Daniel Jones wasn't the problem. Maybe it was coaching. Maybe it was we haven't found the right guy to coach these guys up. Who knows? I know it's 9 games into the season. Anything can happen. They can backtrack here in the second half and just disintegrate because they have had some close games. It's not like they've came out and blown everybody out that they've played. They've been into some tough games. They've been into some close ones. But I think them at home, Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, the way that they're playing, I think Saquon has a day. Call me crazy. I think he gets close to 200 total yards. Rushing, receiving, I think he's going to have a day against this Detroit Lions defense, which to me really isn't that good. I know Detroit, I believe, won their first road game in I don't know how long last week, which, you know, that's nice and all. But at the end of the day, the Giants are that team. They're proven people that they are better than everyone expected them to be, myself included. Give me the New York Giants at -3 this week at home. Yeah, man, that's what we got for our picks of the week. And those are brought to you by our guy, Eric Navarro from Line 'Em Up by Eric. Man, we greatly appreciate you for your sponsorship. 702-884-8138, our personal barber. Check him out at Line 'Em Up by Eric as well. He can take care of you anytime, any place. You already know what it is. Joel goes there. I go there. Our guy, Evan Guerra from Drumline AV goes there as well. But last night, man, huge, huge shout out to the UNLV Running Rebels.
Dayton.
Taking down number 21 in the nation, the Dayton Flyers. Biggest win so far in Kevin Kruger's career. Obviously, it's only his second year here, but still, great, great win. The one thing that I will say for my final thought of the night before I get there, once again, Brian, thank you. Go check out the American Outlaws Las Vegas chapter and all the things that they do. If you guys are soccer fans, jump on with them, tune in. If you would like to hang out and you don't know where to hang out, these are the people to do it with. We greatly appreciate you and your organization, my man. Keep doing what you're doing. My guy Jay, great job tonight, my man. Kind of took the training wheels off a little more, but you're doing good. Appreciate you with your soccer knowledge. But my final thoughts of the night here, UNLV fans, I'm sorry. I've been following this team since 2007, since I moved out here. Not covering it through the media, right? But last night was sad, absolutely sad. Attendance-wise, it was decent, but it was mostly Dayton Flyer fans. And then not only that, when UNLV was doing good things, you couldn't hear anything. When you had people in the stands yelling, "Let's go, Rebels," no one would yell anything. The student section, I'm sorry, pathetic. Now, what Harp has done with this program on the football and basketball side, I'll give him credit. He's getting a lot more people. The promotions have been a lot more better. The fans are talking about this team a lot more, right? But last night was pathetic. You're playing the number 21 team in the nation. You've won your first two games of the season. I get it, against opponents that you're supposed to beat. But you come out and not only beat this team, but you hold this team to 0 points in the final 6 minutes of the second half. You're down 10 points at halftime, 18-point turnaround, come back to win by 8. Big game by the senior transfer, EJ Harkless, and Keyshawn Gilbert continues to impress, continues to grow. We saw what Bryce Hamilton did in his sophomore year when Kevin Kruger came here. Look what Keyshawn Gilbert is doing now in his sophomore season. under Kevin Kruger. Big things coming for the Rebels. Once again, for Jose V, Ian B not here today, our guy Jay Madrazos, our guy Brian Aleman of the American Outlaws, Quan 5'9", our guy Eric Navarro, line them up by Eric, the sponsor of the show. We greatly appreciate you. For Straight Bet Sports, we are out till next week. Peace.